Hi, I'm Andrew Blair-White and welcome back to Green Ball, the Irish cricket podcast show. In this episode, we'll be looking back at the Irish men's series against New Zealand and the recent Irish women's tri-series against Pakistan and Australia. Our panel will analyse the key moments, the positives to take and what to look forward to. We'll also be looking forward to Ireland's two T20 internationals against South Africa in Bristol this week and what opportunities those two games bring for the side. Also stay tuned as we'll be also hearing from Irish wicketkeeper Lorcan Tucker, who's been a key component for the men's T20 side in recent months. Let's get on with the show and introduce you to the panel for today. In this episode, I'm delighted to be joined by Alan Lewis and Isabel Joyce again. Thank you both for joining us. We'll go back to that New Zealand series, and the last time we did a Green Ball podcast, Alan, it was after the second one-day international, and that final ODI, Ireland coming up short by one run, was possibly one of the best games we'll ever see in Malahide.
Yeah, it certainly was, and it was an extraordinary series, a thoroughly enjoyable series throughout, and the fact that Ireland were so competitive, our 50-over form is pretty good. And the balance of the team was pretty good. But when you actually break down that last game, you know, to lose by one run, chasing 360, the highest losing run chase in the history of ODI cricket. But Ireland needed 51 from 40 deliveries with Harry Tector at the wicket, another five wickets in the hutch, a very strong finishing batting lineup. And I kind of think, you know, the thing they kind of got wrong was assessing what might be required. Because if you think about it logically, you know, 4/5 boundaries would probably have meant less than a run of ball for the rest of the balls faced. And obviously, Harry decided on a switch hit, probably at an inopportune time. It brought fresh batters to the wicket, which was a pity. But it was an extraordinary run chase. And I kind of think you have to, on balance, you know, commend the Irish team. They'll be desperately disappointed because really it was a series they should have won 2-1.
Yeah, Isabel, Alan makes a good point there in terms of that the performances throughout that ODI series were certainly befitting of at least one singular victory, if not two. How disappointing will it be for them to have played that well and not to have got over the line?
It's always really hard when you play your best and come up short. But that being said, you know, they're only just short in the three games. They could have won any one of them. So that'll be heartening. It's a matter of learning how to win and to win ugly sometimes. And New Zealand kind of did that. They had different players that stood up when needed. That last game would have been tough. The first and the last games, obviously, were the two tough ones to take. I think they'll look back on the first one and it's pretty clear where they went wrong in that final over. But the third one will be difficult because I don't know what happened with Harry Tector. It was a bit of rush of blood to the head to attempt that switch hit after the first failed attempt earlier in the over. But to have Graham Hume coming out at that point on debut was very difficult for him to try and see the team home. And he just wasn't up to the task. I feel like if it was an inter-pro match, he would have done it at a canter. But it was his first time on the big stage for Ireland, so really difficult for him. And you know, you do have to just learn how to win these things. My old coach used to say you have to lose one to win one. So they've lost lots of different ways. So hopefully, if they're in those situations again, and you have similar players in there, they'll know how to get over the line.
And Alan, moving on to the T20 series, obviously one poor enough performance in there, but the other two games full of some promise for this Irish side, but again, not able to get over the line.
Yeah, I think the balance of the team is definitely coming together since the disappointment of Namibia. I think one of the things which was odd for me was Ireland, with the history of the ground, in Stormont, elected to bowl twice. In game one, they had New Zealand 53/4 in trouble. And I think if you're to look at kind of the last of the ODIs, and again, even the first of the ODIs, when you saw Bracewell and Sodhi knock the ball around, they recovered. They could recover with ease. I think that would be the one big, big learning point for me within this Irish outfit. The use of soft hands in T20 cricket, just keep the scoreboard ticking. Because really, outside of the heroics of Adair and Camphor in the last game to get Ireland up to 174, you never really saw that happening because, you know, the middle order were in a state of collapse because they couldn't keep the score rotating. The one positive point, I think, is that Lorcan Tucker has come up to three. And I think it's a position that in the USA, particularly the second game when he was given that kind of leeway to do it, and he showed it in the last game because obviously Gareth Delaney was struggling at three. So I think they found a positive there.
And Izzy, with what Alan's saying there, how important is it to try and, when you're playing against the likes of India and New Zealand, who are two of the better sides in T20 international cricket, that you are learning from how they're approaching perhaps some of the games and some of the positions in games that Ireland may be struggling in?
It's really important. I mean, the Irish players probably do a lot of their learning from watching watching franchise cricket. The players they're playing against are doing the learning on the pitch, and that's, you know, you can't really compare the two. So Ireland are doing a bit of catching up, and I feel like they are. Aside from what Alan said, which I completely agree with, about Lorcan Tucker and you know, the guys coming in at the end and making up for a smaller total, I think what New Zealand did much better was they obviously are trying to score boundaries. That's what we see in T20 cricket, but they'll recognise when that's tough. So if a bowler is bowling well, or you've lost some wickets, or, you know, the field is spread and it's just difficult to get boundaries, they switch into that kind of rotating the strike much more quickly than Ireland do, especially with the likes of, Glenn Phillips. We talk about him a lot, but his running between the wickets just creates 10, 20 runs for his team. And that's aside from the boundaries he can then hit. So we don't have that nice yet. Players are still finding their feet, just how they're going to score their boundaries, you know, whereas New Zealand are in a completely different situation. Like Jimmy Neesham can come in, knock it around, but then he's just waiting for a specific, you can nearly see him waiting for a specific ball, and then it just gets launched. And our guys just wouldn't have necessarily, not all of them anyway, the real knowledge of their own games yet. But, you know, they've played those three games. They've played the games against India. Now they've got games against South Africa and then Afghanistan. So that's a lot of fixtures to figure that stuff out against different opposition. So I feel like, especially seeing the way Lorcan went about his innings in the last T20, he knows his strengths now. They're starting to figure it out. I feel for Gareth Delaney, he looks like he's going the other way. I don't know if he'll feature in these games. Maybe we'll see Stephen Doheny put up at the top of the order and Alberni moving down. Something like that. I think they could try it out maybe for a couple of the games. But there's, you know, they know a lot more about themselves, but there's plenty more to learn.
Yeah, well, as you mentioned, Isabel, there are those games against South Africa and Afghanistan coming up, and we'll be previewing the South African games later on in the show. But we'll move on to the Irish Women's Tri-Series for now. We were delighted to be covering it throughout the majority of 2 weeks ago. And the Irish side performed with great credit, Isabel, when you look at those two games against Australia. It's obviously going to be very difficult, but there was plenty of positives to take from the games.
There were, especially some of the batting, I think, was heartening. I think we were 30, 40, 50 runs off Australia, but they are like a well-oiled machine. There's about 20 of them who could take to the field, and they do rotate depending on conditions. But we're on a very different cycle with this Irish team. And, you know, Orla Prendergast in particular just looked completely at home at that level. I would love to see her bowling against them. You know, you really, what you need to do to get into franchises in Australia is perform against Australia. So I feel a bit sorry for her that she didn't get the opportunity to show what she can do with the ball as well, because maybe we'd be seeing her in Big Bash, but maybe that's a while off yet. You know, the bowling of Jane McGuire I thought was good. Georgina Dempsey came in the third game. We were amazed that she wasn't in the team before that, but got the big wicket of Alisa Healy. So there was lots of positives for plenty of players. I thought Rebecca Stokoe was good up the top of the order in the early overs and then struggled a little bit maybe. And, you know, the fielding was by and large good. The energy around the team, as it always is good as well. And great to see Laura Delaney back with ball in hand. I hear she's fine with the ball. She didn't necessarily bowl all of her overs, but that was to get overs into other players as well. And I thought as well how she went about the last game they played, where she had clearly struggled and fought through, was heartening for the Irish team to see as well. So, I mean, that's just a few highlights that I can think of. But I think any of the players that were playing in the actual games will come out with plenty of positives.
Yeah, Alan, looking at the three Irish games that they did play, they were very strong in those power play overs. We were discussing on commentary that they perhaps struggled ever so slightly in the middle overs when the four fielders are back outside that 30-yard ring. But when you're in a position where you're making use of the first six, you're in good positions to build on with the bat.
Yeah, I think, look, the disappointment game was Pakistan, obviously chasing 97 and having been 39 without loss after five overs. As you said, they needed 54 from 54 balls. And really, you know, the major weakness at that point was this ability to take singles, which Pakistan, if you look back in that game, did incredibly well. They probably pinched about 15 or 20 in areas where possibly we would have questioned some of the field placing. Ireland's bowling was generally very good, but I think, you know, if they're to, no different to the men, if they're to look at, you know, how they're going to develop their game, they've got to look at how they're going to keep a scoreboard ticking. And perhaps in women's cricket, the tendency is to look to go square of the wicket when they're searching for a boundary. There wasn't a huge amount straight down the ground, mid on and mid off or up throughout, which was very clever, from Pakistan. They relied on their bowling and they got over the line. But I get the sense that Ireland really felt that that was a game that that got away from them. And we certainly felt that, because having been in that position, they just need to take their game to a different level. And I agree with Izzy. I think overall, there was vast improvement. It was a terrible pity that Amy Hunter was unfit. I thought Stokel did very well at the top of the order. Very, very much like we talked about Georgina's omission. And now we've got to kind of think about Rebecca Stokel's omission from the squad for the upcoming series against the Netherlands, which took me by great surprise, I have to say, because I thought she did very well with the bat.
Yeah, and Isabel, looking at that Pakistan game, as Alan alluded to, that may be a game that slipped through the fingers. But when you look at the comparison between the Irish and Pakistan sides, you can see the youth on Ireland's side. But the likes of Nida Dar, Bisman Maroof, Muniba Ali probably all came together for that Pakistan side and maybe showed their experience in winning a tight game in that instance.
Yeah, I think actually we're looking back where Ireland possibly lost the game is those singles that were taken, and not recognising that, in fact, when Pakistan were getting 5-6 and over, that was a win for them because they were struggling. We needed to actually keep them down to 2 or 3 and force them to take some risks. So, maybe, like, again, Alan mentioned the field placement. We saw Australia immediately, when they played Pakistan, employ a point very close in. So they just packed that area and there was just no chance of a single. Now, they obviously had the value of watching the Ireland-Pakistan game and taking tactics into the match. But we need to be able to do those things on the field. And I think it's recognising the conditions and what is a good score, what's the win for the other team, what's a win for us. So we were kind of ticking away going, oh, great, we're on top. But in fact, we're going to have to bat on this. And are we going to be able to get those runs? And we were inside the power play, but then outside of that, we just kept on trying to score boundaries. And, you know, you try and score a boundary after boundary. And then the third ball, you really have to score a boundary because you waste the previous two balls and now you have to catch up. Whereas Pakistan did the other way around. They were taking the singles over and then they launched at the end. We were nearly the opposite way around. It's easier to do that when you're in the first innings because you're setting. The score of pressure was there on Ireland. But, yeah, it was just a little bit of inexperience there. As soon as you get out of the power play, it should nearly be click into those singles and doubles. And then when there's a bad ball, you hit a boundary, kind of old school batting. You go back into 50 over batting and then launch at the end, maybe if you're setting or if you need to chase a bigger target. So, yeah, it's always those overs in between power play and the back end. People struggle to figure out what's the best tempo for the match. And I think in the field, Ireland got it wrong in terms of how much they were trying to cut down singles, and in the batting, got it wrong in terms of actually just knocking the ball around rather than going for boundaries. But I'm sure they'll have looked back on it and spoken about it, and hopefully they'll recognise it if it happens again.
And looking forward, Louis, obviously fantastic that these Irish games are going to be played against the Netherlands in a couple of weeks' time as well. So an opportunity for continued continuity of fixtures for this women's side.
Well, that's the one thing hugely in their favour. They've got a massive number of series coming up, which is wonderful for them. A real, you know, worldwide experience against some of the best teams in the world. And I think one of the heartening things from the series was that piece within Australia, that they recognised that the women's game has to go more global. There's no point in just having England, India and themselves, to play against. It makes it all rather boring. So there was a lot of work from them, which was really heartening to see. And they wanted to do it. So I thought that was really, really good. It was just a pity that, again, that only three of the six games were complete, which was a great disappointment because Breedy did put in an enormous effort, and they've just been dogged with weather most of the time, which was very sad for them.
The next international fixtures, though, are this week, with the Irish men's side facing South Africa in two T20 internationals over in Bristol. An opportunity for the Irish side to again test themselves against one of the best in the world. Coming to you first, Alan, there's been a similarity to the squad in the T20 format over the last couple of squads. Craig Young misses out, Graham Hume comes in. Do you think we'll see any changes to the side?
I can't see a huge number of changes to the side, to the playing 11. I think what they're going to face is a team that, to me, you know, bearing in mind what they've done against England, that are really championing themselves to come into World Cup contenders, a ferocious bowling attack in terms of Nokia, obviously Rabada and Gini, and then Shamsi, obviously with the left-arm Chinaman. Like, they are a very formidable, they're a really good fielding side. They have huge amount of IPL experience. So it's going to be a real test for this Irish team. I think some of the heartening things is Josh Little is beginning really to show his class. And I'm going to be really interested in how he does over the course of these three games. Hendricks has obviously stolen the show in the T20 series in England, but it's going to be tough for Ireland. It was heartening too to see the skipper, because obviously Andy Balbirnie has been under enormous pressure in the T20 format, but it was nice to see his feet moving in the last of those IP 2020 games, and that was heartening. And hopefully he can take that momentum into these games for himself, because obviously he's a high class player. But I think the basic balance of the team will be much the same in terms of who plays. That's barring injury, of course.
And Isabel, playing these two games over in Bristol, not a ground that a few of these players would have played on too much, how important will it be to adapt and assess conditions and dimensions of the ground? It's a very short, straight boundary at Bristol.
Well, it's a great experience, I suppose. They're going to, whenever they play in World Cups or qualifiers, you have to play in grounds that you're not familiar with. So the more you can play in different dimensions and different types of grounds and different conditions, the better. And yeah, it's all about just being able to think on your feet when it comes to T20 and adapting. So this just gives them an opportunity to do that, especially some of the younger guys. Obviously, we're missing Young in this series, so there will be at least one change, and it'll be interesting to see if it's Hume, who is a bit of a surprise inclusion in the T20 team for me anyway, or will it be Fionn Hand? And we see Little with the new ball, and they give Fionn Hand an opportunity to be kind of a bowling all-rounder. So there will be at least one change, or will they go with McBrien up the top of the order and then he bowls some spin, or Delaney comes out, he's struggling with the bat but bowling some good leg spin but not being used. And so they'll have to look at all those things. And sometimes I think as well, it's asking the captain, who are you going to actually bowl? Because there's no point in picking Gareth as a leg spinner if you're not going to give him overs. So you got one over in that final T20 against New Zealand. Probably should have and could have bowled more, but if the captain's not going to bowl him, then, you know, bring in a different option who possibly will bowl, or who, you know, you might feel has a better option with the bat at the moment. So that one change in the team kind of shuffles everything around, doesn't it, a little bit for Ireland. So I think, we might see a few people given an opportunity, I hope.
Yeah, well, that's it, Alan. I was about to ask you, when they're looking for continuity within the squad leading up to the World Cup, which I can completely understand, but we've seen Stephen Doheny, say, be involved in the last three or four squads without being given a game. And are they going to be in a situation where Stephen Doheny is going to be brought to a World Cup without having made his international debut for Ireland? Or are they going to find within this South Africa or Afghanistan series an opportunity to actually see what he's made of at the highest level?
Well, I think the difficult one, and it's going to be a real tricky one in the lead into the World Cup, because obviously Stephen is covering for Lorcan Tucker in the wicketkeeping department. You've got Neil Rock, who's played reasonably well. And of course, obviously, PJ Moore qualifies to play in the tournament in the World Cup. He's on the back of 70-odd. He's been in very good T20 form. So again, Neil Rock has played well, a good player of spin. He seems to have expanded his game in terms of his hitting ability. So it's going to be really interesting to see where they go there, I think.
Earlier on, I got chatting to one of the squad members, Lorcan Tucker, who is over in Bristol at the moment as he and the squad prepare to face South Africa in these two T20 internationals this week.
It's been great. I think it's a new stadium for a lot of us. I think a few of the older lads have been through it with cage cricket and that, but I think it's a new stadium for a lot of us. So we're getting a feel for the place. I think yesterday was our first run out in the stadium, you know, a football match, some training or some fielding throughout kind of the different parts of the ground. So yeah, I think it's just everyone's trying to get a feel for the place. The ground's lovely. The weather's been good. So we're looking forward to it. I think we've got a couple of good games coming up.
And how important, as you say, will it be to try and get a hold of those dimensions of the ground, quite short, straight, and I suppose not the biggest boundaries you're going to get at international level?
Yeah, I think, well, we watched the game that England played against South Africa quite closely there last week. I think the way people bowled on the wicket were quite different to what might usually be done. I think South Africa looked to bowl back of a length and try and make people hit square to the bigger boundaries. So all these things are kind of important. The dimension of the ground, especially in T20 cricket, are really important at the moment. So we're going to try and use that to our advantage to see how they set up going into the game, and hopefully then be able to change our plans to take effect and take advantage of those things.
And for yourselves, it's been a busy enough international summer, especially over the last month or so. How do you go about, I suppose, trying to keep fresh and keep the ideas coming, you know, after having tough series against both India and New Zealand?
Yeah, the series were tough in terms of results, I think. I don't think we got the results we were looking for. I think the performances were there, though, kind of to back them up, if you know what I mean. I think we are looking for results. We've put in some great performances in the last couple of weeks. Unfortunately, it hasn't reflected in wins or anything, but I think it's a matter of keeping that going, and hopefully if you put in enough performances, well, then you'll get that win that'll come. And I think these are two great opportunities for that. I think South Africa didn't have a great game against England here last week, whatever. So I think we'll be trying to take advantage of that and hopefully get a win here in one of these two games, or if not two.
And how do you deal with that as a squad when you've played very well? I think there's a general consensus that the team is improving greatly in both the 50-over and T20 format, but you're not necessarily getting the results that perhaps the performances deserve.
Yeah, I think it's a strong motivating factor, I think, for the team. I think we want to show, because it's hard when you're putting in the performances and you're not getting the results, and people are thinking, not necessarily like, that they can't transfer the good performance into a win. So I think that's where we kind of want to change that around. We want to make sure that we can actually show that, you know, these performances, they're not just losing performances, they're actually winning performances, and that we can win games and win series. Just like we showed against the West Indies in January, we can do it again, we can do it at home. So yeah, I think that's what we're trying to do over the next couple of weeks, and then go into the end of the rest of the summer.
I'm playing the South Africa team that you played last year as well in the Wonders and T20s over here in Ireland. So it's a relatively similar squad to the one you would have faced. So what will you have taken from last summer, you know, preparing for this two-game series?
I think we're quite familiar with them. A lot of the bowlers, a lot of the lads have faced them before. I think that could be quite like reassuring for some guys knowing what their skills are and what they're going to do when they're under pressure. And obviously we beat them last summer, so we'll be looking to do that again. I think they've had a long summer already, and I think we're going to try and take advantage of maybe some fatigue in their camp. We're so motivated and feeling strong, and I think we just want to try and get some results on the board this week.
And for yourself personally, it's been a good summer. You've played nicely for the Irish side. You were absolutely instrumental in the Leinster Lightning winning the Interpro Festival last week. You must feel in good touch with your game at the moment.
Yeah, I think things are going well. Obviously, it's week on week basis, and you're trying to just, you know, keep that performance level and keep that mind, I suppose, consistent and constant. You know, every game is an opportunity to go out and do well and contribute to the team and hopefully contribute to a win. So yeah, it's good to feel like you're in decent nick. I think that's a big thing with cricket. Cricket can go up and down, but as long as you feel the same, I think you can start every game, you know, feeling assured and confident in what you can do. And I think that's what I'm trying to feel at the moment, along with a lot of the other lads who are really playing brilliantly at the moment. So I think we're going to try and take all that individual confidence and group together and hopefully, you know, perform.
And for this Irish T20 team, there's been a lot of talk about since the last World Cup, trying to take those improvements. You were at the last World Cup, but not within the team. How was that as an experience, I suppose, being over there? Was it frustrating that you weren't playing, and how did you go about trying to maybe make small improvements to your game to become back into this team as a vital figure?
Yeah, well, it is professional sport, I suppose, at the end of the day, and there is a lot of competition involved, both against other teams and within the team themselves, to get people on the park. So it was very much one of those cases I wasn't playing well enough at the time and didn't find my way into the team. But that was okay. And it was a tough campaign in general, I think, with COVID and everything, even on a personal or on a team-based kind of point of view. It was tough, and we didn't perform how we wanted to. A lot of pressure, I think, even coming out of that now into this year, we're trying to, I suppose, have a new approach. I think trying to freshen things up. And we want to perform better. I think we've got the World Cup coming up now in 2 months' time. But I think we want it to be very different to last year. I think we want to see some results. We want to qualify. And I think all of the stuff that we're doing at the moment is going to be put in place to achieve that kind of result. So it's kind of we're trying to go on the curve like this and I suppose build up to that opportunity in October in Australia.
And over last winter, David Ripley obviously came in, who has been known around the world as a very good white ball coach and made it a specialist thing at Northampton in the T20 format. Mm-hmm. He promoted you up to number 3 in that USA series where you did very well. You must have taken great confidence from the fact that he came in and gave you that freedom, gave you that belief that you could bat at that position in the order, and then you went out and produced it on the park.
Yeah, I think it's completely true. It wasn't something I'd ever considered doing or thought about. I'd kind of settled into a role in the back end of the innings, and I think a lot of my training and practice and even match preparation had centered around that, I suppose. So I think when I went up and Rips gave me the opportunity to go up higher in the order, I don't think it was something I thought about too much. But like you said, it was brilliant, like a confidence booster, I think, just to see. In a way, sometimes you don't know what you can do and what you're capable of. I think it's great to kind of get those opportunities where you're pushed out of your comfort zone and then seeing how you can deal from there. I think that was what it was. So I was, you know, delighted to be able to do that. And I think just trying to continue that form and that confidence going into the rest of my cricket this summer.
And you touch on preparation there. What's the big differences, I suppose, if you're trying to set up to be batting at potentially 3 in a T20 team, in comparison to maybe the number 5 or 6 that we're more used to seeing you in?
Well, obviously you're planning on batting in the power play, I think, which is the big defining factor. I think some of the shots that you play or I would play would be different in the power play to how I would go about it later in the innings. Probably expecting to face a little bit more seam bowling as well than spin. Obviously that depends on the team and stuff, but yeah, I think it's just a more balanced approach at the start. I think it can be pretty hectic and you want to be, I've nearly been searching for some like raw power for my batting at the back end. And that's not necessarily important at the start. I think the start of the innings can be like you're looking for balance and control, but also efficient, you know, boundaries getting, I suppose. I think that's what I'm trying to do and achieve.
And we saw in the recent New Zealand T20 series that in that last game, you did go back up to number 3 and did very well. Do you feel that is your now position in this side? Do you feel that's something that you really want to nail down?
Yeah, I think going forward, definitely. I think I've really enjoyed the opportunity of being up at the top, getting the bat with Bal and Sterlow like on a regular basis. And I think it's something I definitely want to continue doing forward. So I'm going to have to try and hopefully get an opportunity this week, and then hopefully it goes well and continue in that kind of that nice vein of form, I suppose.
I mean, you move on from this South Africa series to the home series against Afghanistan pretty quickly after, up in Stormont as well. Afghanistan are a side that Ireland have played many times in the last couple of years. It seems to be a very good rivalry between the two sides, and it seems to be a very even contest as well. But they're one of the best T20 sides in the world now. It must be great prep going into that World Cup.
Yeah, I think we always enjoy playing Afghanistan. I think there's hardly a year goes by where we don't play them in some sort of series, be that ODI cricket or T20. So we've got them in T20 this year, and I think we're always looking to beat them. We play them in a lot of close series. They're quite a similar team to us. You know, they get down to it and they grind wins out. So yeah, we've got 5 games against them. I think that'll be brilliant preparation, both for the competition against them and then for going into the World Cup in the months to come. So yeah, we're really looking forward to that.
And I suppose the difference in those two sides that you're facing in the near future, you've got, like, I suppose, the pace of Rabada and Ngidi in the likes of a South Africa team to the mystery spin of the likes of Rashid Khan and Mujeeb for Afghanistan. How do you go about, I suppose, planning and trying to train differently for both those tests?
Yeah, well, I think something that Heinrich's been big on is just clarity of preparation. I think what you're trying to do and trying to achieve, I think it's the most important thing in preparation, is to just step back and think about it first and see what you want to do, what you're working towards. And I think that's what we're trying to do. So obviously the South African attack is quite explosive, high pace, and then very different to the Afghani attack, which is built around spin. So I think for the last week, I think the preparation, I think it's just clarity is the main thing that we're trying to achieve, understanding what you're trying to do, where you're trying to go with it, and why you're doing it, really. So I think that's what we're going to do, and we'll start that, I suppose, next week after these games against South Africa for the Afghanistan prep.
And you mentioned Heinrich there. He's come in at the start of the summer, and as you say, the performances have been very good without the results potentially backing that up. How's he been to work with, both for yourself personally and for the team?
Yeah, Heinrich's been brilliant. I think I describe it as someone who has fresh eyes, I think, and it's been brilliant to come in and see the group from a different point of view. I think we'd all not necessarily become comfortable with how we were organised and run and how we prepare and stuff. But it wasn't to say that we weren't. I think Heinrich's brought in like kind of a new kind of vivaciousness and energy to the team that has been brilliant. And I think it's kind of reflected in some of the performances that maybe we didn't think we had in us going into this summer, but have actually churned out, I suppose, like you said, without the results, but the performances are there. So I think, yeah, it's just that energy that he's brought. It's a new approach. He's big on certain things like clarity and, you know, our way of thinking. And I think that's been important for some people, I think, including me, who have been kind of used to doing the same thing throughout my career. So it's been great to have like a new kind of ideas or all those kind of things. So it's been great. Yeah, it's been really good.
And just finally, if we were to talk again in potentially 5-6 months time at the turn of the year after a World Cup, what would you define success, not only for yourself, but for this Irish team?
God, well, it's such a T20 focused year, players, and with that World Cup coming up in a couple of months' time, I think, especially after the struggles of last year and that World Cup qualifying period where we didn't get through and beat Namibia to get into that next stage of that World Cup, I think that's the main focus for the moment. I think would be to get into that competition and qualify for that group into the main section of the World Cup and hopefully get some wins from there. I think our performances have been good this year, and there's no reason we can't do that. I think there's definitely the belief in the team. Like going into the T20 team this year, having a kind of a new, I suppose, not necessarily an approach, but a new energy. And I think that's something we didn't have before. And I think we're trying to, I suppose, gather that all together and use it and hopefully bring it forward and create like a strong growth pattern, I suppose, going into this World Cup, where hopefully we can win games and proceed through the tournament and not just stagnate, I suppose.
It was brilliant to hear from Lorcan, who's over in Bristol, looking forward to those two games. And he was a big part in Leinster Lightning winning the IP20 trophy last week in Pembroke. It was a fantastic week of cricket, Isabel, when you see the amount of runs scored, and to see Lorcan in such good form at number 3 was fantastic. And also the hitting from George Dockrell was something to behold.
Yeah, it was certainly not a week to be a bowler, was it? My goodness, I wasn't jealous at all. The batting made for fantastic viewing for everyone who was watching online and those who made it down, the last day to watch the Leinster Lightning take the trophy. And what a series it was for George Dockrell. He just seems to be going from strength to strength. And Lorcan Tucker just making that number 3 spot his own. Great to see that he's up there for the Leinster Lightning. But yeah, it was a really good showcase of the IP tournament. It's a pity that it doesn't lead into selections and things like that. I think that was the only dampener about it. But yeah, it was good to see Leinster Lightning after starting the season so strongly and then having some injuries to the team throughout the summer and then coming back strong and going home with that trophy.
Yeah, Alan, myself and you were down for a few of the days watching the power hitting on show. Do you think that's a good case that the Interpros are putting pressure on the bowlers? Because as we see in international T20 cricket now, that those scores of 180, 190 and above and beyond are becoming just par for the course.
Well, I think it's probably testament to how Ireland have begun to approach their T20 cricket, which is really heartening. And you know, some of the hitting in that middle order, like George Dockrell, is just extraordinary where his game has gone to. And I think the other set of things, and we've missed it in part of the earlier conversation, is that his bowling is certainly coming back. There's no doubt about that. Again, that third T20 against New Zealand, he only bowled two overs for 13. We felt he could be bowled more. And again, in this tournament, he's proved that with the ball as well. So I'm hoping that we'll see a lot more of George with the ball throughout the remaining 7 games that we have as an example. But it was tremendous, tremendous competition. As I say earlier, it'd be lovely to see what the whole value of that competition is, and that maybe some of these non-contracted players who've really played well this season perhaps would get a little bit more recognition. But we'll have to wait and see on that. I don't really know the background to that type of thing myself. I'm only just commenting it on from what we see in terms of player performance. We've obviously got the Afghan series coming up. That's going to be huge. They've got a really strong squad coming over. It's going to be spin heavy, as we know. So it's going to be an enthralling series. The heartening thing actually from the New Zealand T20 series was crowd numbers in Stormont. And I suppose I'm hoping there'll be a flurry to pick up tickets for what should be a really exciting series there.
Those tickets are available on the Cricket Ireland website, and they're going very fast at the moment for those Afghanistan games in Stormont in just a week's time. Also, this weekend, there was the Clear Currency Irish Senior Cup and National Cup semi-final. Starting off with the Irish Senior Cup, when we were at the quarter-final stage, there was only two NCU clubs left in the competition with six Leinster clubs, but they've managed to make it all the way to the final. Lisburn beating Clontarf comprehensively at home, and CIYMS beating Phoenix down in the Phoenix Park as well. Isabel, Lisburn have been really a sensation up in the NCU this year, and they've got themselves to an Irish Senior Cup final. And Nigel Jones, the Leinster Lightning coach, is captaining CIYMS through to their first Irish Senior Cup final as well.
Yeah, great to see the two NCU teams in. Speaking to viewers of that Clontarf game after the loss, it was a big weekend for Clontarf. Obviously, they had lots of opportunities to push for further honours, and the T20 final was rained off yesterday. They lost that game on Sunday. But it just looks like they let Lisburn away a little bit too much and then lost wickets continuously, which we've seen them do in the league actually a little bit now and stuck up the hand. I think they would have preferred to bat first. I think that's their strength. But a big turnover there, because Clontarf have great pedigree in the Irish Cup. And then Phoenix, you know, they can be a bit up and down. I think they were obviously down against a very, very strong CIYMS team who are almost like a professional outfit. The way they go about their cricket. So it should be a really intriguing final.
Yeah, and we were up in Lisburn earlier this year, Isabel, for one of the Arca Super Series games, and they put on a splendid show. Again, from what I've heard, the similar was put on. There was over 300-400 people there. There was a free barbecue. Everything was absolutely fantastic. It's great to see a club like Lisburn make this sort of progression.
Yeah, absolutely brilliant. And I hear they're even going to start a coffee truck with sandwiches and things that's going to start generating some income for the club. And, you know, so it's great when you see a club really moving forward. They always have a really good committee in place and lots of hardworking volunteers, and they're reaping the rewards with this big day out at the final.
Alan, looking at the National Cup as well, Terenure and North County getting through to the final of the National Cup. Terenure bowling out previous winners of the competition, Railway Union, for a very low score and chasing it five down. It was a fantastic win for them, and both themselves and North County well worth their position in this final.
Yes, I think certainly the Terenure victory over Railway have struggled with the bat this year. It's clear in a lot of their games you can kind of see that. And Terenure, if you consider in the league, they bowled out North County for 62. They've got a very decent workmanlike team. They're actually very like Lisburn in that regard, in the sense that they play for each other. They all work for one another. And it's amazing when you put that type of key, you know, team concept together, what you can do. And there's a great buzz around what they're doing. North County, I would have expected to do what they do. They're top heavy. They're a good side, and it's going to be an intriguing final, I would have to say. And it's interesting going back to Lisburn. I just kind of noticed that, like, obviously they've got a tremendous professional cricketer, but you have a guy Whitworth who got 36 with the bat, 3 wickets for 36, 3 catches, and it kind of gives you an indication of what they've been like as a team and what Izzy talked about. They've built a culture up there. Dean Simpson, you know, a huge catalyst in terms of driving the club on, working on the ground, retired now and doing all the things they can do. And certainly speaking to anyone that was there, they had a wonderful weekend. And I think that was a picture, even around Twitter, everyone so thankful to one another for each of the games. And that's the nature of what club cricket should be. And I suppose it's the value of this competition. The only pity is these clashes of weekends, perhaps where we might have the Irish, some Irish internationals on view. That's I suppose, the only perhaps downside of the thing. But it's a cherished competition. Something at a personal level, I played 5 semi-finals, never won one, and I suppose it was the greatest disappointment in my own club career. But there you are, Lisburn and CI, and good luck to both of them. They've They've fought their way through, and it should be an intriguing final. Both finals should be intriguing, actually.
And finally, Izzy, just touching on the youth internationals on at the moment. Great to see the Irish under 17 women over in the Netherlands at the moment. The Irish under 15s going over to Malvern as well this week. A fantastic opportunity for those young players.
Absolutely. The excitement going around the clubs for the players who did manage to push through after lots of interprovincial cricket over the last few weeks is palpable. All the congratulatory messages going through from senior teammates and things is just lovely after a few years out with COVID. So it does feel extra special this week for those players. Obviously, disappointment for those who've missed out. But as we know, cricket, you can get in having never played in internationally at youth age group. So it's not the end for those players. But yeah, I'm really intrigued to see how they get on in Netherlands and Malvern, two brilliant places to go to play some cricket.
Thank you to both Alan and Isabel for your opinions today, and thank you for listening to today's episode of the Green Ball Podcast. We'll be back in your feed regularly throughout the year, so the best idea is to make sure you subscribe to the channel to get the latest episode of the Green Ball Podcast.